Amen. Well, tonight, I'd like to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. We'll see where this leads. As I said, we're looking and getting ready to start another Bible study series, and I've been looking to the Lord, and as He did last time, or last Wednesday, when we met the Wednesday before Christmas, He led along the lines of prayer. And so I turned back to prayer and looking at prayers. And if you remember, that study was about, you know, the prayer that they had, people of Israel had Moses pray for them regarding the serpents and where that led. And this week, the Lord brought to me, and I think it's interesting, not ready to commit to it as a course of study, but interesting chapter and reminder. And again, it comes down to prayer, but I thought it would be good to go through the entire chapter, 2 Samuel 7. But the verse we'll look at is really toward the end of the chapter. But what this is, in David's life at this time, this is a time when, well, let me read the first verse. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about him from all his enemies. The battles of David with Saul, the battles of David with others around him, where the kingdom, his kingdom was under attack and oppressed, the Lord had brought them to an end. Not that there weren't more battles coming, because there is. But the Lord had brought those to an end. And David was able to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant back one chapter. And eventually he was able to get it back to Jerusalem, where it belonged. It had been taken out of Jerusalem to protect it, and chapter 6 in itself is an interesting chapter. But this is where David rejoiced, and he sang and he danced with all of his heart, wearing just a linen ephod, basically down to next to just underclothing, and where his wife Michal was ashamed of him. And so this is David coming back to Jerusalem as king, bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem to worship. These years and this time of battle had drawn to an end. And so we find David sitting in his house, and he's pondering. It's like he finally had some time to sit and ponder all that had happened in his life up to this point, all that he had been through. And I can't imagine the experiences that David had, though we can read about them. We certainly do not really can't fully comprehend them, except we find him again. He sat in his house and was just thinking, just finally kind of relaxing and thinking about all that he'd been through. And verse 2 says, and when he was sitting there, it said that it was during this time that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar," a nice house, a nice finished house. A solid house that not everyone had to enjoy. I am in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains or a tent. The Ark of the Covenant was kept in a tent, still very mobile, very temporary. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Now, Nathan spoke that, and there was truth to it, but Nathan, again, had been through a lot with David. And he saw that the thing that David was saying was that it was time to build a house for the Lord, a permanent covering and place for the Ark of the Covenant. And Nathan saw that as a good thing. David saw that as a good thing. But we come to verse 4, and we read, and it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? So there's David sitting in his house, resting from all that the Lord had brought him through, and all the battles and all the strife and just all the difficult years. And David enjoyed sitting in his house. It was kind of, you know, nice to be home, nice to come home from war and come home to peace. And so David naturally had that same sort of thing. He wanted the Ark of the Covenant. He wanted to build a house of the Lord, a nice place, a permanent place. And he didn't feel it was right for him to dwell in a nice house and the Ark of the Covenant to be in a tent. But the Lord said, tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Are you're going to build me a house? Are you going to put me in a house? You're going to build a house for me to dwell in? He goes on to say, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. The Lord said, you know, I've done just fine living in just a tent since the day, the time when I brought Israel and delivered them and traveled with Israel in the tabernacle, in tents, until this day, he said, the Lord was saying, I've lived or I've walked in a tent. It says, in all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, intonate that. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? The Lord said, did I ever say that in all this time? Have I ever asked that you build me a house of cedar? Have I ever approached anybody with that plan or that idea? Now, therefore, in verse 8, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from being a shepherd, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. In other words, wherever David went, the Lord was with him and followed him, just as he followed Israel and led Israel out of Egypt. The Lord has been with and moving, traveling with David, in a sense. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. In all this time, the Lord was saying, wherever you went, I was with you, and I have made you a great man. I took you from being a shepherd boy that your father didn't even want to acknowledge when Samuel came to looking for the next king over Israel. David's father was not even going to mention David. He was just an insignificant shepherd boy out with the sheep. Certainly not leadership quality in his father, in Jesse's eyes. But now the Lord said, I've taken you from there to make you king over Israel and made you a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. So Lord, starting back to verse 10, the Lord said, my work's not done yet. I'm going to appoint a place for my people Israel. I'm going to plant them. I've got work to do. I'm going to settle them, I'm going to let them put down roots, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. So Lord, they already had the land of Canaan. That was their land. They had lost a lot of it by now. But so the Lord had work to do. He said, I'm going to give them a place where they're going to have rest from all their enemies. I'm going to give them a place that the children of wickedness will not afflict them anymore, a place all their own, and they will no longer be troubled. The Lord said, I still have work to do in the nation of Israel. I still have some moving around to do. I still have this word to fulfill. And since the time he commanded judges to be over the people, he's done a lot of work. He said, also, the Lord telleth thee that he is still going to make thee an house. But here it turns to a prophecy. It speaks of David's covenant, the Davidic covenant. And it speaks of the future. The Lord's saying that I will make thee an house. He's speaking of not David's house of cedar, not a new house in Jerusalem for David, but a permanent dwelling place for David, but not just for David, but for his seed. In verse 12, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Speaking of his seed, his kingdom. Reference here is, first of all, to Solomon, regarding Solomon. But Solomon is a type or symbolizes Christ. But most of this has dealt directly with Solomon. It says, I will set him up and establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name. So it's Solomon that will build the house. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. So he's speaking of that Solomon, his seed, will build this house for the Lord and establish his kingdom forever. Again, this is again prophetic speaking of Christ, and many, as David will get there, but David marks recognizes and references this later. He said, "I will chasten him. If he falls short, if he commits iniquity," he said, "I'll chasten him. I'll use men to chasten him, to correct him, and get his attention that he's strained from the path that he should be on." He said, "But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as he did with Saul." Because, in other words, the Lord is promising his throne will and kingdom will be established forever. So let's pause here for just a moment. So David's sitting, starts out in this chapter, David's sitting in his house, thinking back over all he's been through, all the things that God has taken him through since from being a shepherd boy. And he's sitting in this really nice house at peace and at rest. And he feels like the Lord should take a break. He should build the Lord a house to honor God. It just didn't seem right for him to have such a nice place and the Lord still be dwelling in the Ark of the Covenant, to still be dwelling in a tent. But the Lord responded and says, "You know, I've got other plans. I didn't ask you to build me a house, so don't bother working on it. Appreciate the thought, but not now, not you." He said, "I'm going to, your son, your seed, your son," he says, "I will be his father. I will raise him up. I will establish him in his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his kingdom forever. But my mercy will be upon him, and I will not take it away." David's just soaking this in at this point. His mind had now shifted a great distance from building a house of cedar for the tabernacle, or for the Ark of the Covenant, and for a temple or a house for the Lord. His mind had shifted away from that. It was, the Lord was telling him what's going to happen. Verse 16 says, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So not only is the Lord doing this for his seed, but it's also David's seed. And so David's throne will be established forever. And his house, speaking of his family, the children he would have and his children's children, the name of David's house will be established forever and ever in his kingdom. In other words, the Lord was not done yet blessing David or his family. And God makes this covenant with him. All because he had this time of rest and reflection. And he wanted to do something for the Lord, but the Lord said, "No, I'm going to do something for you still. I can live in tents. I can travel in tents. For all the years coming up out of Egypt into the land of Canaan, all they'd been through, the Lord says, "I'm good. I'm not done with blessing you yet." So in verse 18, then went King David in and sat before God. So David's one day he's sitting in his house contemplating all that God had done in his life, and he felt this need to do something for God. And it was, you know, even Nathan thought it was a good thing. But Nathan went home, and that night the Lord gave this to Nathan. So Nathan came back the next day and revealed what the Lord had said to him. So this is the next day. Here David thought, you know, he was blessed. He was home. His life was whole. And life was good. Only to find out that the Lord was not yet done blessing him. We sometimes forget that we have prayed. We sometimes forget that we have prayed and sought the Lord for things. But without turning there in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 speaks when there's vials of odors or fragrances that are opened there in around the throne of God. And in them are the prayers of the saints. The things that we pray, the things that we seek for, the things that we seek God for, He does not forget. We forget. And David had no doubt forgotten his past prayers and how he sought God's and God's protection, God's safety, God's blessing on his life, the forgiveness he sought from the Lord in his situation with Bathsheba and their son Solomon, and all the battles he had been through with Absalom and fighting against Solomon and against Solomon's reign and against David, and all that being resolved, the Lord said, well, I'm just getting started here. So David went in, it says, and he sat before the Lord. And I like to think of it as a lot of times people like to say, you know, I feel closest to the Lord when I just go outside and I sit under a tree or I sit on a hilltop or I sit wherever. And one man that said he used to take his, one of the patients I had and his daughter, they would go out on the tractor oftentimes on Sundays, on Sunday mornings or something. They would drive up and park, drive the tractor up to the top of this one hill and park it. He'd shut it off. And he would just sit there with his daughter sometimes, other times by himself, and just look out over the work that he had, the work that he had done, and thinking of the blessings of God and the quiet and the peacefulness and looking at his land and just, look, again, contemplating the blessings of God. But his daughter told me, she said that he used to take me up there with him once in a while and sit in his hilltop. And he told me, he says, right here, I feel closer to God than any place else that I've ever been. And so I kind of picture David. After, you know, he was there in his house, but the next day he went and he sat before the Lord. He just sat before the Lord. It was him and God. Sitting quietly and contemplating all the Lord's response through Nathan. So he went in and he sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? Who am I? And what is my house, or his family, his people, that thou hast brought me to this point, hitherto, to this point? Remember, he was a shepherd boy. What is it, Lord? Who am I that you have, oh Lord God, Lord God Almighty, and my house, my people, what's special about us? What is it? Who am I that you have brought me to such a glorious place with such glorious promises and a glorious hope? And this, in verse 19, and this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also. He said, what you've done, it was a small work for you. It was a small thing. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. I mean, not only was David contemplating his past and all that he had been through and the present and the things that the Lord had just spoken to him and revealed to him about his future and his family's future, his family name and his kingdom and his throne. He says, but thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, forever. Who am I, Lord? What am I? What makes me so special? You're going to make me a great man like in the name of great men that are in the earth. Who am I that you have, are blessing me so much? And things that are going to come to pass for a great time to come, a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Is this the manner of man? And what can David, speaking of himself, you know, in a sense the third person, saying, and what can David say more unto you? I'm speechless. Not only have you answered my prayers, not only have you blessed me, but as I mentioned Sunday, you've done exceeding abundantly above all that I ever asked or thought. What more can I say? For thou, Lord God, you know me. You know thy servant. You know me inside and out. Who am I? I'm not anybody special. And you know me. You know me. But then what could David do? Except to accept the things that God had offered. It was God's doing. So he said in verse 21, for thy word's sake. In other words, Lord, because you are the one that said it and promised it, and according to your own heart, not according to David's heart to build him a house of cedar or a house of cedar for the Ark of the Covenant. He said, because you have said it, even though I don't see why me and why my heritage, why my family, why my house. But because you have said it, and this is what you want to do, Lord, according to your own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. You've done all these things to make me to know your word and your heart. This is something in prayer that is a great discovery for us as we come before the Lord and we pray, we ask for things, we ask for guidance, we ask for strength, you know, there's whatever is on our hearts is what we bring to the Lord. We pray for others and we have a knowledge of God, a knowledge of the Word of God, and we feel the and sense the presence of the Spirit and we rely on the promises of God. And you've enabled us to know these things. Hasn't the Lord spoken to us about things, that promises that are ours for a great while to come? Our future? We can look back like David. We can look back at our past. There's sometimes that you sit, you know, in your home, in your favorite chair, in a comfortable spot, and, you know, just look around at all that God has blessed you in and with, and, you know, Lord, what can I do for you? I need to do something for the Lord. And the Lord says, you know, I'm doing just fine. But here's what I'm going to do yet more for you. And so we sit again before the Lord with a different mindset. In prayer, we sometimes pray with different mindsets, don't we? Oftentimes we come to the Lord with a mindset of need, an emergency or a crisis or something that's troubling us. And then the Lord answers prayer. And time passes and we see how he's worked and how he answers prayer. And then we come again to sit before the Lord, humbled. And this whole chapter to me shows David in a very humble, human mindset, if you would, or introspection. With introspection, he's really looking at himself and his circumstances. Who am I? Why me? But since you have said it, Lord, and you've made these, you've told me you're going to do these things, says, not for my sake, but according to your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all these things. You've brought me to this day. You've caused me to know them. That I know that it's God that has done this in my life. People say, well, I don't believe in your God. I don't see him. You can't prove he exists. And every time somebody says that, we just look back over our lives and we go, I can't tell you how many times and in what great ways God has dealt with me and spoken to me and blessed me. And to say that he doesn't exist is like to say, my mother never existed, therefore I don't exist. But he says, to make me understand this, to give me this knowledge, he said, for your word's sake, you've blessed me even more. Wherefore, in verse 22, thou art great, O Lord God. Thou art great, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee. There's none like you, and there is no other God except you. According to all that we have heard with our ears. We've heard a lot of controversy. We've heard a lot of conflicting opinions. Oh, we have a God over here, or we have our God, and he does this and that. And he's heard about a lot of gods from a lot of different peoples and a lot of different countries. Yet the Lord God has enabled David to overthrow them, to dominate them. And those other gods have utterly failed. Utterly failed. Because they don't exist. And David understood that there is no other God. He said, even though we've heard of lots of other gods with our ears, there is none like you. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, to make him a name. He did it the Lord did it for his sake, to glorify his name. He redeemed this people out of Egypt to make for himself and establish on earth a testimony of to his name and his glory and his power and his ability. Even Israel, whom you redeemed for yourself, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. God has done these things to make himself a name and to do great things, to glorify him. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. What other nation in the earth is like Israel, that God has brought from nothing and from nowhere a people without a land, a people without a heritage, you might say, and made them to be his own unique nation? And he confirmed to them to be a people forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. Because they were able to understand. And they have recognized the Lord as their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. David said, I don't know who I am. I don't know why you've done this for me. I don't know why all this. But as the Lord's revealed to him and as he's understanding, this is God's work. David is just the vehicle. David is just the one that God has chosen and God is using. And David says, I can't argue against it. David was humbled. He was of a very contrite heart. But he said, Lord, you've said it, you've spoken it, you have done all these things, therefore establish it forever and do whatever you want. Do what you have said. He was saying, okay, Lord, I accept this glorious place and gift for your sake, David, not for David's sake, but that through David and through Israel and through David's seed after him, that the name of the Lord would be glorified. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established forever, or established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, and here's the verse we're going to get to. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. To pray, the word prayer comes from this word to pray. To pray, the word pray means to judge mentally or officially or intercede. So David has judged this situation. Think about prayer as a judgment. David has judged all that God has said to him and has entered into agreement with him, and he has prayed this prayer. The word prayer means this intercession, this supplication, but it implies that it is a hymn, a song of praise. Therefore, thy servant found in his heart to judge all that you have said. I'm kind of paraphrasing here to incorporate these definitions. To judge all that you've said, all that you've done, all that you have made of me and all you've made of Israel, and you've found in his heart to judge and proclaim this hymn of praise to thee. He wasn't singing, but yet it was a prayer. And our prayers to God can be like hymns of praise. Let me hurry up and finish this here for tonight. Verse 28 says, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. In other words, David is saying, I will receive and walk in and honor your blessings for your namesake, to glorify you, to magnify you, to declare that your words are true. And it is the goodness that we receive in your hand that demonstrates that you are, by your, according to your will, you are blessing us. Blessing Israel above any other nation, and David above any other house, any other household or name or heritage. And David's just humbled by it, and all he can do is sit back and say, Lord, these blessings, these blessings glorify you. They don't make me anybody special or anybody better, except that you have done this work in my life and you have put me in this place. And so all I can say, all I can do is agree, is to agree with the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the blessings that you are and have opened to us for a great while to come. And this is what the Lord looks for. I don't have time to go into that, and I'll start preaching, but this is what the Lord is looking for in our hearts. That when we sit before God, we acknowledge his presence, his blessings, him being the truth, him being the only God, and thanking him for the blessings for his name's sake. Yeah, it's great for us to partake of these things. It's great for us, but God has not really done them for us, though he wants to bless us. He's doing it to glorify Jesus, his son, in our lives. And so that's why the 420 elders, and all they've been blessed with and in, and the understanding that they have received and the company that they represent and all that God has done in their lives, when they worship, they cast their golden crowns before the throne and acknowledge that this is not their work, but is the work of God. And it's because of the goodness of God that we find in our hearts to judge with God and pray this hymn, like music in the ears of God to him. For great is our God. Great is our God. And one day all creation will sing and resonate the glory and the beauty of his person and his work in the human race through Christ. Never quite seen this chapter in this light, and that's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. That he just takes you to these places and these gems where David is so humble and so thankful for God's blessing, for the Lord's sake, for God's sake. With that, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you that the blessings that we have received and the joy and you've caused us to know these things, that in itself is a blessing that we partake of. And we praise you for that. It is for your glory that we are given this knowledge and understanding. It is for your glory that we utilize this understanding. Father, bless this message to each of us tonight in a special way, that we too, like David, might go and just sit before you and properly judge the situation that we find ourselves in. It's a situation of great honor and blessing and encouragement and hope and peace for a great while to come. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.